Raja Raja Mahantomo, निद्यमानां उपलभ्य कुरुद्भः राजोवाचमान् सोमो मन्युं प्रथमं चिव
Wind and fire, near Dakyamana, being burned, on trees, and Upalabhya, seeing, Kurudvaha, O Maharaj Parikshit, Raja, King of the Forest, Uvacha, said, Mahan, great. Soma, predominating deity of the moon. Manyum, anger. Prasamayan, pacifying. Iva, like. Translation by dear King Parikshit, when Soma, the king of the trees, and predominating deity of the moon, saw the fire and wind burning all the trees to ashes, he felt great sympathy because who is the maintainer of all herbs and trees. To appease the anger of the Parikshit, Soma spoke as follows. Prabhupada has understood from this verse that the predominant deity of the moon is the maintainer of all trees and plants throughout the universe. It is due to the moonshine that trees and plants grow very luxuriantly. Therefore, how can we accept the so-called scientists whose moon expeditions have informed us that there are no trees or vegetation on the moon? Sri Krishna Chakravarti Thakura says, Soma Vriksh Aditastata Sa'eva Rikshanam Raja. Soma, the predominant deity of the moon, is the king of all vegetation. How can we believe that the maintainer of vegetation is no vegetation on his own planet? Text 7, O greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens all prosperity and act as their protectors. Purport is indicated here that the government or king has a duty of protecting not only human beings, but all other living entities, including animals, trees, and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, is the master of all living entities, including all the Prajapatis, such as Lord Brahma. Because he is all-pervading, indestructible master, he has created all these trees and vegetables as edibles for other living entities. Purport, some of the predominant deeds of the moon reminded the Prajapatis of this vegetation that he created by the Lord of Lords to provide food for everyone. If the Parikshit tried to kill them off, their own subjects would also suffer, for trees are also required for food. By nature's arrangement, fruits and flowers are considered the food of insects and birds. Grass and other legless living entities are meant as food for four-legged animals like cows and buffalo. Animals that cannot use their front legs as hands are meant to be the food of animals like tigers, which have claws. And the four-legged animals like deer and goats, as well as food grains, are meant to be the food of human beings. Therefore, by nature's law or the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one kind of living entity is edible for other living entities. As mentioned here in Vipadancha Tushpada, four-legged animals as well as food grains are edibles for human beings. These four-legged animals are those such as deer and goats, not cows, who are meant to be protected. Generally, the men of the higher castes of society, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, do not eat meat. Sometimes Kshatriyas go to the forest to kill animals like deer because they have to learn the art of killing, and sometimes they eat animals also. Sudras do eat animals such as goats. Cows, however, are never meant to be killed or eaten by human beings. In every Shastra, cow killing is vehemently condemned. Indeed, one who kills a cow must suffer for as many years as there are hairs in the body of a cow. One of some to says, Parvitta Esha Bhutanam Rittisha Mahapalam. We have many tendencies in the material world, but in human life, one is meant to learn how to curb these tendencies. Those who desire to eat meat may satisfy the advanced effects by eating lower animals, but they should never kill cows who are actually accepted as the mothers of human society because they supply milk. The Shastra especially recommends Krishna Gauraksha, the Vaishya section of human humanity, should arrange for the food of the entire society through agricultural activities and should give full protection to the cows, which are the most useful animals because they supply milk to human society. So, intervention of the Devata Soma, king of the moon, here is appropriate because he is the lord of the plants, and the plants are being destroyed by the fire from the Pacheta's breathing. So this, of course, creates a very unbalanced situation in the material world. Of course, the trees maintain the world, because without the trees, no one else can live. Without the plants, other animals cannot live. So if we kill off all plants, then everyone dies. So the Lord has a particular arrangement in the material world, which is a little unfortunate in one case, because the bodies of one living entity become the food for another. So we take the animal life. Some animals take animal life, some take plant life. The plants are a little bit maybe more pious. They don't take any life, because they just live off the water and minerals and the air. But they, without them, the other living entities, animals, cannot survive. So therefore the animals also have to respect the plants. And this is also, of course, natural in the material world. Animals do not unnecessarily destroy the plants, because they need those plants for their survival. So they'll keep some of the plants alive, and then they'll maybe eat those plants, but they don't eat everything. So this is a particular arrangement in the material world, made by, of course, Brahma, who's under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Human beings within this system have a choice of what they want to eat. They could eat animal or plant. However, we'll find in the scriptures that as one progresses up through the gunas, then one is advised not to eat the meat. So therefore the higher classes restrain themselves, and particularly the Brahminical community. Of course, we'll find even in the scriptures there are sacrifices in which the Brahmanas chant mantras and offer horse or even sometimes cow into the sacrifice. We have the Goveda and the Asvamedha sacrifices, as well as other types of animal sacrifices, and these were done by the Brahmanas usually. However, even beyond the Brahmanas are the Vaishnavas. So the Vaishnavas are even more strict than the Brahmanas, and not even involving themselves in such sacrifices for consumption of meat, etc. So the system, as one goes up the system into Sattva-guna, etc., gives more and more restrictions for giving up the animal sacrifices and simply eating plants. However, even eating plants is a sin, because one takes life to do so. And therefore, even the plants have to be offered in sacrifice to the Lord. And this absolves one from a sinful reaction. So that is why we offer all of the food to the deities. This is a sacrifice. So in other words, in order to prevent karma, we have to do the sacrifice, because we have to eat. And then we have to eat because we have to maintain the body in order to further progress in spiritual life. So there is some concession made for taking of plant life. In the spiritual world, such conditions do not exist, because there is no hunger, and there is no thirst, and there is no material body. So, of course, there is a body, a vigraha, or a spiritual body, but that does not subsist on food, or water, or air, or whatever. So therefore, there's no necessity of those things in the material spiritual world. But in the material world, we do have some necessities. So of course, all, even the water or the air, etc., in the scriptures it is described that ultimately it is the Lord who is behind everything. and therefore we have to recognize the Lord. He is the prana of the prana, he's the eye of the eye, he's the ear of the ear, he's the mind of the mind, intelligence of the intelligence. So behind all of our functions of our senses, the Supreme Lord is the actual seer and doer. So we have to recognize the Supreme Lord behind all of our activities. So if we do this properly, then we have a chance of getting out of this material condition of bondage and karma, etc. In this particular incident, we find that the prachetas were angry because the trees had overgrown the earth. So it was very difficult for the human population to get food and do agriculture, which implies, of course, that the trees that were there were not food-producing trees. So it was difficult for the humans to survive. On the other hand, if they kill all the trees, then we have a problem, because all the other plants also may die as a result of that, and therefore there will be no more humans or other animals even to survive after that. So Soma, who's in charge of the plants here, is trying to pacify the prachetas and stop them from this act of killing all, burning up all the trees, etc. Because it can create an imbalance in the society. And he explains how one entity is dependent on another. So if you kill all the trees off, there are entities who depend on the trees for their life. So, of course, human beings also depend on some types of plants, but other living entities will depend on the plants that he's killing. So we cannot interfere with the system created by the Supreme Lord. This is similar to modern environmental theories of how the animals, the plants, and the earth interact with each other. And if we try to disturb that, this creates problems one after the other in society. That's exactly what is happening here. That if the prachetas cause a problem in one area, this will cause problems in another area, even though their attempt to destroy the trees is an attempt to help the human beings. So they have to be moderate in how they want to change this whole system. So everything ultimately has been arranged by the Lord in a certain way, and therefore we cannot interfere with it to an extreme way, otherwise we can cause disaster for everyone. So this is in respect for the laws of the Supreme Lord. We have certain conditions under which we live, and of course we have to take some plant life and maybe some animal life or whatever, but these things are minimized so that we do not interfere unnecessarily with all the other living entities in the material world, plants or animals. So that is a natural way of living in the material world. The excuse for the human being, however, in the modern world is, well, we got so many people here, we need to do more, so we have to cut down more trees and plant more fields and have more types of crops, etc., and raise more cattle for human consumption, etc. So we have all sorts of excuses because of population, etc. But at the same time, we have to be very careful because it's going to backfire. We don't exactly know what we're doing when we do all these activities on a large scale, and it can create problems for the whole world. So that is something happening in the material world now because of the threat of more populations, and they have to cut down more forests. If they cut down more forests, this will alter the climate, this will alter the water supply, and if we stop the water supply, then nothing grows anywhere in the world, and then everybody dies. So this is the present scenario, destroying forests and whatever, and then hoping that we're going to supply more fields for people, but in the meantime, probably we're changing the weather patterns and reducing the water, and therefore causing everyone to suffer. So we have to be very careful how we go about these large-scale destruction of forests and earth, etc. So this is an early example of this, where the Purushottas try to do this out of their anger and are interrupted. So anger itself, we know, is means that when this arises, one becomes bewildered, one loses one's intelligence. And one does not know what to do and what not to do. And the scriptural rules are forgotten. So here the Purushottas become angry at the trees for overgrowing, and therefore they start destroying them. So this type of action is based upon not considering all of the effects it's going to have. So therefore, we can see here the influence of anger, how it will actually disrupt our intelligence so we cannot act properly. Luckily, we have Soma here to intervene and give good advice to the Purushottas. And because they also are saintly, they're also willing to listen to his instructions. So Soma knows the balance is great, since he is the Lord of the trees. He understands the necessity of maintaining the trees for the life of the other living entities, the animals. So this way he's speaking in this verse. Yeah, so that's what we find that in the Shastras there are provisions for eating meat. And I said even the Brahmanas in some cases they're doing sacrifices with animals, and the Kshatriyas is probably they should go and hunt and get the animals and sacrifice and whatever. So yeah, it is there to some degree. In any case, it is not a major part of the diet, as it has become in many countries of the world. It's not a major part, it's a minor part of the diet in any case. And there are rituals prescribed for eating the meat also, so there are some restrictions. And even in some religions like Islam and Judaism, there's also restrictions on eating of meat. There are certain ceremonies you have to do before you can eat the meat. Certain meats are impure you cannot eat. So there's restrictions in any case. So that one cannot kill and eat the animals, etc. This, of course, is also a wise decision, because by killing those animals, we also interfere with the balance created in the material world. Get rid of those animals, and then there's a problem again, because they are balanced with other animals, with other plants, etc. And if we kill those animals, then there's a problem. Chain reaction will happen, and we disturb the material world again. So there is some provision there. But as I said, as one goes higher in the gunas, then the restrictions become more. Because the higher in the gunas one goes, the more one becomes spiritually interested, dedicated. So the meat eating is not advised for spiritual advancement because of physical reasons and also because of ethical karmic reasons. Yeah, so when this becomes extreme and they cut too many plants for different things, lumber, paper, whatever, it creates problems. And therefore they have to do things about it. So some countries have restrictions, and if they do cut down the trees, then they have to plant new trees and wait for them to grow up again. They can't just cut things down and just say goodbye. They have to start planting some new trees, and after, you know, take care of them for some time so they grow up again. So then later on they cut those trees down again. So there has to be some provision for regrowth and whatever. If we just wildly cut things down, this will end up in big disasters. They said that probably, of course, this is a problem in India. There used to be forests in many places. They cut down all the forests for wood, burn the cooking and whatever. And so the place has turned into deserts. And this is so in many places in the world also. Like Sahara Desert, apparently it was a forest at one time, but they cut down all the trees, so then it turned into a desert, now they can't do anything with it.
the human being out of his inquisitiveness tries to learn from the creation of the Lord so many things and claims that it is his own innovation. Like that we have new technologies coming like biotechnology and other things. How far this technology will be useful for the better life of the human beings?
Well, if they don't recognize that there is a delicate balance and they just use them for a certain purpose without seeing the implications, then it can be very destructive. They have short-term goals. And if those goals also are guided by material considerations like money, then it becomes even worse. And we don't know what the results will be, like genetic modification of plants, etc. So they make them, of course, the positive effort. Yes, we do this because this way you don't need pesticides, and you get more production or whatever. The negative side is we don't know the effect of those genetically modified things. That for instance, the genetically modified corn, the animals won't eat it. They don't like it. Something wrong with it. So they won't eat it. So they feed it to human beings. And animals don't want to eat it. Cows don't want to eat genetically modified. They know it's something different, so they don't want to eat it. And of course, we don't know the long-term effects of human beings. What will it do to the human being? We don't know. It may cause problems in the human being. In the long run, we don't know. Similarly, it may spread around the world because of cross-pollination, etc. And then it'll destroy all the natural things. And sooner or later, we end up with all this corn that we find out later is poison for some reason. And then we can't get rid of it because there's no other pure corn left. So we end up, and then everyone starves because there's no more corn. So we could end up with problems like this. And a lot of them may be also governed, not just because we want to help people get more crops, and maybe also because even though they know there may be some long-term effects, they don't care because they make money out of it. We sell the seeds to everyone and they make money. So it's, we don't know the effects of all these things. We have to be very, very careful. Well, yeah. The thing is that people may be interested in welfare and whatever, but they also have a money interest. So this is a problem, that money interest, short-term profit may blind them to the long-term dangerous results anything may have.
The
what? Yeah. Yeah, it's less, so that's why it's advisable to take the subsist on plant life rather than animal life, because the karma is less. That's one reason, not the only reason, but one reason.
That means maybe the reason they could take cutting
trees is easy. Well, cutting trees not for food though. They're using it for other things. Sometimes they're just doing it for lumber, for instance, and then they get sell it and get profit from that. So somebody makes profit out of it. It's not that they need the furniture in that particular country, but that somebody's making a big profit out of it because they sell it and export it. So somebody makes money out of it, main thing. That's the thing. Or they may chop all the trees down to plant crops. But in doing so, yes, it may be short-term good for them, long-term bad for the world. And so they start cutting down the Amazon forests, which I think, I don't know, a certain percentage, maybe 30% of the world's forests are in Amazon. So if you cut down half of that, you really affect the whole world. Because it's a lot of trees there. And it could affect everywhere in the world and change the climate and so many things because it produces the oxygen, carbon dioxide produces oxygen, etc. So the oxygen balance goes off, whatever, and so many other things happen. So then the rainfall also will be interfered with because of less trees, whatever. So it can cause a lot of problems.
Yeah.